This is the Tom Anderson Show, broadcasting live from the KVNT studios, 7 to 9 a.m., Monday through Friday.
Well, Congress is at it again. The U.S. House of Representatives and the Senate now considering nationally the controversial legislation called PRO Act, which some are saying going to damage the national construction economy and building economy, certainly here in the great state of Alaska. Associated General Contractors of America, I'm friends with a lot of members in this state and in other states. They have a national organization, a big one, 27,000-plus firms, including 6,500 of America's leading general contractors, of course, the specialty contractors as well, over 9,000. And Steve Sandher is here with us, and he's the CEO of the organization nationally. Steve, you've got your work cut out for you. I'll bet you it's kind of a Groundhog's Day year after year. You have to monitor and be a sentinel over Congress to see what they're up to. Is this one particularly pernicious?
Yeah, Tom. First of all, thanks for having me on your show this morning. It's nice to talk to you. It is especially pernicious, and it's not just its impact on the construction industry. Its impact on all businesses and frankly, all employees. The PRO Act stands. The PRO stands for Protect the Right to Organize, which is rather an innocuous title. Employees in our country have a federal right to organize, to choose a union, and bargain collectively. And no one in the business community is arguing that right isn't there. But unfortunately, what the PRO Act does, it goes far beyond that sentiment. And it would provide unions with significant economic weapons that will make businesses defenseless against their objectives. And let me give you some examples. So the PRO Act would allow for picketing at any time, which has a disruptive impact on businesses. It would allow strikes at any time and for any reason. Under current law, a strike can only be conducted where the union and the employer have reached an impasse in bargaining, or the employer is accused of having committed unfair labor practices. And then finally, one issue that doesn't get a lot of attention, it would eliminate the prohibition on what are known as secondary boycotts. And if you can give me a chance, I'll briefly explain what I mean by that.
Please.
Okay. So let's assume you have a hospital, and that hospital has a contract with a laundry service who provides the hospital with scrubs, towels, sheets, etc. And let's assume that's a non-union laundry service. So the hospital has a contract with that vendor to provide those supplies. So let's assume that the union that represents workers that do that type of work goes to the hospital administrator and says, we noticed that you use a non-union laundry service. We think you ought to use a service that has a contract with us. And the hospital administrator says, well, I can't do that. I have a contract with this service. They provide a good service at a good price. I can't breach that contract. And so the union that represents those type of employees sets up a picket line out in front of the hospital saying that the hospital is unfair because it will not use a union laundry service. So the union's primary objective or primary antagonist is the non-union laundry service. That's who they don't like. But instead they put a picket line out in front of the hospital, and then they encourage the nurses of the hospital that belong to a separate union, the nurses' union, to not go to work and honor that picket line. The hospital administrator is faced with the choice of, do I try to work through this strike of nurses striking against me because we use a non-union linen service and compromise the care of my patients, or do I breach the contract with the non-union laundry service at great expense to the hospital for the damages that are in the contract for breach, and bring in the laundry service that the union prefers us to use? That's what a secondary boycott is. That is illegal under current law. So you can see the type of leverage that that gives unions to be able to shut down businesses, force people to go on strike. And parenthetically, let's note that those people that go on strike don't get paid when they're on strike, force an employer to acquiesce to the union's demands.
You've got one of the best in Maury helping you get your message out across the nation and regionally. And I know that in this region, Pacific Northwest, there's a problem. It's kind of like with the Ninth Circuit Court, where you have a very liberal California and high tax, but you have construction and projects, and you have members there, no doubt. We have the same seen in Oregon and Washington State, very liberal states, very liberal cities with problems. We hear about headline every day in Portland and Seattle, and then we have Alaska, where it's a conservative state, conservative leadership, and very pro-construction. When you look at the entire map and you look at the history of unions in the labor and workforce development industry, do you think we're getting to the stage where unions' shelf life has disappeared? Or even if that was the case, the better question, how to put a ceiling on benefits and such that people can't afford? Because I don't know if we can backtrack, can we?
Well, we represent, Associated General Contractors, we represent both union and non-union construction firms. The contractors will speak glowingly about both types of labor relations activity. So it's not that we're anti-union, but we're pro-worker. And to your point of, about the liberal Ninth Circuit and the other challenges that you have in Alaska, where you're a more demographically a more conservative state, I should point out one of the reasons why union representation in the private sector, I think, has diminished. You know, beyond the point of there are so many protections out there for workers that they get without being under a union agreement, such as, occupational safety and health for safety, such as, the Fair Labor Standards Act, which makes sure that they get the proper wage and proper benefits. Obamacare, which requires that the employer provide them with health insurance. They don't need a union for all that stuff. One of the reasons that employees choose not to belong to a union is because they know their union dues and fees goes to political purposes and political candidates that they don't support. And they don't want their money to go to support those politicians and those causes.
Well, I was a state lawmaker, and I remember very thoughtfully the collective of unions from the pipe fitters, the plumbers, the laborers, the carpenters, the Teamsters, the IBW, that were very generous to me in donations and support, and they helped me get elected, and I will never forget that. And I have, I won't use the word solidarity, but I have certainly endearment to them. But then there is also rational-based thinking, and I think of over the years when I was in office or when I have been in advocacy with the Hotel Restaurant Association, one of my jobs in previous life, or now in advertising. I know I own an advertising firm, and we run into this where there's union, even as simple as, hey, can we get this printed? Done. I'm going to go to Pip, Alaska and Anchorage. Plug for them. Nope, you have to go to the union print shop with the little bug on it. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? And then, boy, the strict constructionist theory isn't always wonderful to me. And my brother was a plumber, and he was non-union, and I remember him. He passed away, but he said, boy, sometimes there's an arrogance and an indignance, not with all union folks, but with some union plumbers, and they're no better trained or experienced than me, but they kind of have a chip on their shoulder. Now, you have to be careful because you represent both, and I just talked about my praise of both sides, but there has to be a balance.
Well, I think you're raising the legitimate point here. You know, our federal labor law is a balance. It's a balance between competing but legitimate interests. On the employee's side, their right to organize, choose a union, bargain collectively. On the employer's side, the ability to manage their business and seek a profit. You have to what the PRO Act does is it takes that balance and skews it dramatically in the side of the unions, so that the employer's leverage, the employer's ability to respond, the employer's ability to negotiate a contract that allows them to operate in a profitable manner, that balance would be severely damaged by the PRO Act.
What I'd like to do is we're going to take a super quick break, and if Steve wants to call back, Rick will talk to him. I'm going to put the links on how you can help and get involved. Maybe you're a contractor and want to join the national and the state organization. We'll have that in our YouTube links. We'll make a video of this. Stay with us, and we're going to come right back with Steve Sandher and get the skinny on how you can contact your congressional members right here on the Tom Anderson Show.
This is the Tom Anderson Show, broadcasting live from the KVNT studios, 7 to 9 a.m., Monday through Friday.
We are back, and we are in a discussion that I think really is important across the fruited plains, whether you're in Alaska or another state, whether you're in a populated area or not, and especially with centers and with construction booming. Steve Sandher is our guest. He's the CEO of the Associated General Contractors of America. So that's the entire country. Steve, I got to ask you, and we're going to get into how our delegation feels, since you're talking to Alaskans. We're a regional show, so I know there's other states. We could get into Washington, Oregon, and where we have other folks listening in the Dakotas. But we will talk specifically about Alaska. But before we get to that level, I have to ask, how did you feel about the Biden victory, and are you going to be active in the 2022 races? I see the astronaut Kelly in Arizona up again. I see Warnock up again in Georgia. Then we'll get to our delegation. But Biden winning, what are your thoughts? And then these other races, will you get involved coming up?
Well, I mean, Biden's victory, we don't really, AGC doesn't endorse candidates. We provide PAC support to candidates. Our PAC is a separate entity, but we do not endorse candidates. So we did not endorse anyone in the presidential race, nor did we give PAC money to anybody in the presidential race. Now, having said that, we fully recognized what the consequences were going to be on a lot of labor and employment issues if Joe Biden was elected president. I mean, he said he would be the most pro-union president in our history, and so far he's doing everything he can to live up to that pledge. If you want to take a look at the PRO Act and where it stands politically, so it's already passed the House, and Alaska's Congressman Don Young voted for the bill, much to our disappointment. In the Senate, there are 47 Democratic co-sponsors. There are no Republican co-sponsors. Chuck Schumer, the majority leader, said that if they get 50 co-sponsors, if the AFL-CIO gets 50 co-sponsors, they'll bring the bill to the floor of the Senate. There are, as we all know, there are 50 Democratic senators. There are three that so far have not co-sponsors. That would be Mark Warner from Virginia, and Senators Kelly and Sinema from Arizona. And there's a lot of discussion about whether or not the filibuster rule is going to be maintained. We are not taking any comfort in the filibuster rule providing us a barrier to this bill becoming law. We're acting under the assumption that the filibuster rule could go away and you only will need 50 votes to pass in the Senate. So having said that, our objective is to keep all Republicans from supporting the bill and to pick off one Democrat. And the three Democrats that I've already mentioned are obviously targets for us. And, you know, frankly, Senator Murkowski in Alaska is a target for us. We're going to do everything we can to educate Senator Murkowski to the challenges of the legislation, the impact it will have on Alaska's businesses, the impact it will have on Alaska's workers, and hope that she'll find her way to opposing the legislation.
It's a tough one, isn't it? Elisa's a very dear friend of mine and a former colleague. I was chairman of the Labor and Commerce Committee in Alaska, mm-hmm. and, of course, working with your group in Alaska, your counterpart and or your affiliate, and then with the labor unions in the state. And Lisa was the majority leader, and then her dad appointed her to the U.S. Senate seat, and she's been there, and I'm quite proud of her. Don't always agree with her, but for the most part, she's an intellect, and she's a deep thinker, and I think that bodes well for your discussion with her. But there was also, to my point about elections, and you answered thoughtfully, there's an election coming up, and I can't speak for her team, but I do know that she will want the support of labor members and their families and their siblings and their spouses, of course, because it's going to be a tough race against Ms. Shabaka, who is on the hard right conservative side. And I think it will be Lisa Murkowski's to lose in 2022. But those are delicate matters, are they not, in certain states where there's a balance like with in cinema in Arizona?
Sure.
And they're Democrats, but I get it. You have a tough job.
Yeah, no kidding. When I took this job, I had brown hair. Now it's all white. So, yes, I do.
And I hear good things from state, and I hear good things from my sources. We have a national ad agency and work with a lot of different folks and have offices and other satellite offices in other states. And I will give you a compliment. I've never met you, and we've never spoken, but I hear very good things. And I know you didn't call in for praise, but I'm proud of you because, as you said, it's not all fun and games, and it's not all about the almighty dollar. You're doing this more so, I would guess, for a labor of love, no pun intended. And so as you move forward, not just talking and bonding with folks in respective states, membership states, but what else will you, not to give your game plan away, but are you truly, you know, meeting with folks across the nation in person and by phone and Zoom and radio show to get the message out?
Yes, and what we're doing specifically in Alaska, and we have a great chapter there, the AGC of Alaska, and the woman who runs it is Alicia Shira, and you know, we are in regular contact with Alicia. We are setting up a statewide coalition of like-minded business groups with the idea that they are going to help us educate both of your senators. And make sure that they are fully informed of the consequences that exist in this legislation. And, you know, we think that under careful consideration and thought, that we can make a very strong case for your two senators to oppose the bill.
Absolutely. And my guess is that Dan Sullivan, our friend of the show, U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan, will. By the way, I must give a shout out to John McKinnon, the longtime head honcho. He is a brilliant guy, and I love that guy. And he's called into the show intermittently, and he's now the commissioner under our Governor Dunleavy, thanks to him, of the Department of Transportation. But John is missed because he was an all-star.
Yes, he's very effective.
And so as we move forward here, we're talking with Steve Sandher, he's CEO of Associated General Contractors of America. As we wrap up, Steve, what can people do in Alaska and out of state? We'll make a YouTube video of this as I pitch before the last break, and we'll put it in the description. Where can they go? What can they do?
Yeah, well, contact their senators. They're easy to find on the Internet. If you are a business owner, let them know how this may impact your business. If you're an employee who wants to be able to keep More money in your paycheck and not have it go to political causes and candidates that you disagree with, contact your senators. They listen. I mean, you have two senators there that are strong-willed and independent, and their objective is to represent your state to the best of their ability and help educate them and let them know, how this bill, how this legislation could impact your lives.
Absolutely. The PRO Act, folks, I don't support it based on what I've read in advance of this interview and listening to Steve, and I absolutely concur. And by the way, we can all get along and support labor and non-labor companies, but sometimes there's an idea that may not work and it'll affect too many people, domino effect in a bad way for Alaska. So, Steve, I couldn't agree with you more. I really appreciate your time. Like I say, we'll make a video. Thanks. We'll spread the word. You can share it as well, and we look forward to getting you back again, hopefully with better news and maybe with a bill that people can support next time.
All right. Well, Tom, I look forward to having future conversations with you.
Okay. Thanks so much. Thanks to Maury for setting this up. And Steve Sander, Associated General Contractors of America. Nice to hear from him. Nice to get a national perspective and understand how there is a nexus to Alaska.